It's hard to think this early in the morning.
It is. That's why I'm waiting for that coffee to just kind of kick in, you know?
Yeah, that's the same. I just slammed.
It's starting to, though.
That whole one.
That's why it's important that I drink coffee before I do a workout.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, if I show up without having coffee in the morning, I'm just fucking groggy.
See, I wake up and I'm like, I didn't realize this about myself, but I think maybe I'm like kind of a psychopath or maybe a sociopath.
I thought you were going to say morning person.
Oh yeah, that's another word for it, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Also a psychopath.
Yeah, because like I just wake up and I'd be like, boom, wide awake.
Really?
Typically. I'm just like.
Mm-hmm. You also do this thing where you take naps that are exactly 20 minutes long or something.
Yes.
I'm able told to do me that.
That is supposed to be an efficient thing, that, like midday. Mm.
That is supposed to be a psychopathic thing, yeah.
Really?
No. I would believe it, though.
I would, too. I feel like it.
it sounds like that.
When I tell people about it, that's the look I get, where they're like, what?
I sleep for exactly 20 minutes, and I wake up, and it's perfect. It's just like, okay.
It's a weird thing. Like,
tired when you're done? I've tried doing that, and I'm just as tired when I...
No, I'm just like, I feel like I just got like 8 hours and I'm just like wide awake, like, hey, it's morning again. Yeah,
like
it's weird.
Like you just fucking plugged into the wall.
Yeah, like, I do. It does feel like just like plug in the wall and then battery recharged 100% and then you wake up. And I wake up naturally. I don't have to set any alarms or anything. It's just like, boom.
Man.
Like,
is that just naps or also when you're sleeping, like you go to bed, you wake up 7 hours from now and you're fine?
I can't even tell you the last time my alarm went off. Like,
God, you're right. He is a psychopath.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Like this morning, I woke up at 5:45, just like, boom, like wide awake. Like, okay.
Do you wake up feeling rested too?
I feel a little groggy this morning, but typically I feel fine. I don't ever like snooze or feel like I need to just sleep more. Like usually it's very rare
my
for
mind
me.
Right now.
It's nice. I don't know. I think
you never hit the snooze button on your, you don't have an alarm.
Yeah, I mean, I have an alarm, but I never hit the snooze button. I just...
Dude, that's fucking insane. I hit the snooze button at least 3 times every morning.
What? See, that's insane to me.
Yeah, many times. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right, we're going to hear it. This is not me peeing. This is me filling up a cup of coffee.
So we're talking about me being insane because we're up at 6 in the morning to do this podcast, which is a change for us. Which we normally did it at what, like 8?
Yeah.
So if we sound extra tired and unresponsive, that's probably why.
With the sleep stuff, I'm jealous because one, I think if I could get to a point where I never had to sleep ever, I would do it and like just not be tired. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Like if you didn't require sleep and weren't tired?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
You'd have twice as long of a life too, right? Because like half your life
you're sleeping.
You're not, yeah.
Do you want more though? Isn't 8 hours or isn't like a day enough?
It's kind of this like, it's kind of this fucked up capitalism thing for me where it's just like, I want to get more done.
Efficient.
More productive.
Yeah.
But
I would be like ready to die so much sooner. By the time I was 50, you'd have lived like twice the life, you know, because you're always awake.
Yeah, that's what I kind of want, though.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, you're right. It's kind of like more of this shit.
It would be.
But man, this is dark.
More depressing.
Sorry to go that direction. But.
Does that mean you just sleep to make life pass by faster?
I guess I haven't thought of that.
I'm going to go to bed. This is boring.
Right. Yeah, it's like, I don't know, midweek, I'm like, I'd rather just go to sleep than deal with this day.
Yeah.
You know, like a Wednesday. Yeah, just go to sleep.
That makes sense. I mean, I've felt that way before, I guess. But overall, though, if I had the choice of like, do you want to have sleep or not sleep? Like, do you want to go no sleep and then you're just never tired?
But you can never sleep.
But you can never sleep.
Like, you're physically incapable. You just have to lay in a bed.
Right.
Okay.
But you naturally regenerate your...
You're never tired.
Yeah. Well, like, if you work out or something, you'll get tired after working out. But it'll be, like, that soreness tired. It won't be that, like, that tired of, like, I need to go to sleep right now.
Mm-hmm. I would think you'd... It seems too strong to be able to just never be tired, though. Like, there'd have to be, like... You'd have to rest.
I don't want it to be, like, a superpower.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, you would still have to, like, you know, sit on the couch and stuff. You'd have to have days where you're just not going outside and stuff to, like, mm-hmm. let your body catch up. But you never have to lay down in a bed and, like, close your eyes and be unconscious.
You'd have, like, two lives, too, because you'd have your daytime life and then your nighttime life, which would also be weird.
I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, it could be cool.
Think about how much New World you could play.
I would just, that is probably what would happen, right? Is I would just play video games all night long.
I'm pretty sure that's what
would happen. Yeah, and then you'd roll right into, you'd play video games all night.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, oh, I need to, like, you know, get up, take a shower or whatever, and mm-hmm. then go right into work. Or get up, go work out, come back, go into work.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it would be nice. You'd have plenty of time to do all the stuff that you normally was like a solo thing that you did during the day. You could spend more time with people, do like people things during the day, you know? But I still don't think I'd want it. I think that's too much.
Did you ever read about the back in like the, I want to say this is 2000 to 2000, like, 12, there's this thing on the internet where it's called like the Uberman sleep schedule.
Oh no.
No.
No, I never heard of this, but it sounds like,
oh man,
it sounds like that shit where they're like take a cold shower in the morning and like all this alpha type shit.
I think it does come from like the alpha culture. Mm-hmm. If I had to guess, it was like a college thing.
Uberman, right?
What? Yeah, Uberman.
Oh yeah, okay.
And basically what it was just like, all right, if you just deprive yourself of sleep for like a week, and then you switch to this schedule where you sleep, it's like once an hour you take a 20-minute nap or something like that,
mm-hmm.
And then you just never have a long sleep ever again. And it's like, it's totally a thing you can do as a human being. You can switch to this schedule. It's like, it's natural. It's primal or something like that. And it's there's all this shit on the internet about like, I switched to the Uberman sleep schedule and I'm doing great. And I like got super into it. And mm-hmm. I was just like, I'm going to do this. I'm like, I'm going to become this superhuman man.
Right.
I'm going to have the Uberman sleep schedule. I'm never going to have a long sleep at night. It's going to be amazing. And I tried to do it in college and it just never worked.
Yeah.
I was fooled. But
It's one of those things where like it's like cyclical where these people come out with these things. It's like, this is the thing that's going to cure your problems. Like, this is going to be it. Like,
oh yeah.
I remember like that. There was some like guy who was like, he was like a breathing technique. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a special breathing technique. He's like, you do this like, you know, so many hours a day and then like, you'll be able to like, you will need less sleep. Your life will be better. All that stuff. You know?
Yeah.
It's like everybody has these programs where like, oh, this is the thing that works, that makes you feel better. It's not, you know, being under the boot of capitalism crushing you and being a, it's not that's the problem. No, it's not it. You're breathing enough.
Yeah.
Or you're not a Uberman or whatever.
Right. But. Well, that's pro-capitalism is if you get into the Uberman sleep schedule, you can be more productive.
Yeah, there's... It seems like these things go like there's like two ways they go. It's like you need to be more productive, so do this thing to be more productive, or they go the other route, which is like the I don't know what you'd call it. It's more like metaphysical, or like you need to meditate and you need to like breathe and blah blah blah.
Which I do think there's a lot to that.
Yeah, I think that is actually beneficial to people.
Clearing your mind of just gunk and crap does help a lot.
No, I agree with that. Like,
yeah.
And that was a big part of how I was able to do those naps. Like, if you subscribe to my patented 20-minute nap system. but that's how I was able to do it. Like, it actually took, like, I don't know. I don't like to talk about this because I feel like it's pretty lame, but... Like, it took, like, training to, like, do that because, like, I would work a bunch of shitty jobs most of my life where you would have 15-minute breaks. And mm-hmm. I was like, can I fit a nap in here? And so I would, like, do meditation. I do shit like that to, like, train myself to be able to just nap, boom,
makes sense.
15, 20 minutes, then wake up and be alert.
So you think you've kind of trained your way into this and it's not
not something I was just able to do normally. It was something, like, I made concerted efforts to do. And like, also I used to live, I've lived in places where it was really loud, or I'd work overnight and I could never get sleep, and I was having issues with insomnia. And so I was like, I have to be able to get in a mental space where I can do this consistently and, you know, fast, or I'm going to go insane.
Yeah.
Like, I felt myself on the edge of like literal insanity, and I was like, okay, I have to, cause I was not getting sleep. And I was like, I have to figure this out. And eventually I figured it out, but it was through meditation and mindfulness and, you know, just
stuff like that. Cool. That's pretty cool though. I mean, I used to have problems getting to sleep. I don't know if I'd ever call it full blown like insomnia, because I've known people that have insomnia and it's just like, there's no cure for that. It's just like, I mean, I'm sure there's different types of insomnia. Some people can get cured of it, but some people have insomnia and it's just like, no, they're just stuck with it and it sucks. I kind of had trouble sleeping for a while, and then I taught myself a technique for getting to sleep, which was just like, one, I'm closing your eyes.
Step good one. Good start.
Yeah. A little tip for you guys. Close your eyes.
Now you're in a bed. You're lying down.
Yes. Correct. Also, you want to get into a bed. Yes. Okay. And then you want to typically have something over you, maybe some pillows. But what you do is you close your eyes, and then you just imagine that you are laying underneath stars outside. Okay. I started doing that, and then like I started falling asleep within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it used to take me an hour and a half to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. That's very similar to what I would do as well, is like, mine was the ocean. And like, you know, you have these thoughts in your head that you're like, I think most people actively like are overthinkers once you lie down, because then it's like, okay, now time for everything that I pushed off during the day to invade my brain.
Yeah, which kind of makes sense, because that's related to when you are sleeping, that's kind of what your brain is doing. Right. Is your brain is kind of like reviewing like memories and stuff.
Yeah.
That's why dreams, you know, kind of bubble forth and stuff, is like, that's typically just like your brain is like organizing basically. Mm-hmm. And when you're laying down to go to bed, that's kind of what's seeping through a little bit. So teaching yourself to not do that and just like clear your mind.
Right.
That's how you get to sleep.
Yeah. My method was basically the same, where it was like, I would imagine the ocean, and you're supposed to, as the thoughts come in, you're supposed to acknowledge them, but you're not supposed to have any reaction to them really. Like, oh, here's a thought, because there's nothing you can do about it. And you're like, you're in bed. Like, there's no point in giving any of those thoughts any time of day until the next day. So yeah, just acknowledging the thoughts, and then the ocean washing them away, and then blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. I learned a similar thing with like imagining that you're in traffic.
Mm. Oh God, that sounds horrible.
And you're dodging traffic. No.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like you're imagining that you're looking at traffic, and then the cars are like thoughts, and you just gotta like, when a thought comes by, you just let it go by, and you don't let it hit you.
And you're saying thought, thought, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cars are all thoughts. No, not that.
Well, I think we should probably get into it.
All right, if we must.
If we must. This week we are covering Squid Game.
That's right.
Welcome everybody to Binge or Cringe, the podcast where we check out one episode of a show and decide if it is binge-worthy or cringe-worthy. This is our first foray into a battle royale type of show. I know there are some movies. I don't know. I don't think there are any shows about battle royales, but I know there's some media. There's Battle Royale, the movie, which was, I believe it was a Japanese movie.
Yep.
That kind of kicked off the genre. I know we played.
It's interesting because it didn't kick it off at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just. Tell him I'm informing Josh how to use the French press.
So go. Josh is pouring French press.
Pouring the French press.
Yeah, I didn't watch you the first time.
I was going to get some sound in there.
Jake made us some French press for this early morning episode, and it is very delightful.
Yes. By it's a local KC Roasters roasting company. What's it called?
Folgers?
No. You son of a bitch.
Folgers.
Oh, yeah.
Best part of waking up. That.
We're not, no, we don't do ads.
We cannot be bought.
Not for free.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. but so when that movie came out, though, I don't think it didn't kick. It didn't really kick off anything. Like, mm-mm. I think it had kind of a cult following at the time, but it wasn't until a little game called Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, one of the worst titles for a video game ever.
Take it back. Take it back a step. Take it back. No, I mean, you can keep that name. Well, that guy, that's that guy's name, the mod guy.
I know. But when it came out, I was just like, what is this game?
Yeah.
Player Unknown's Battlegrounds.
I didn't know that's what it stood for.
Yeah. And now it's just called PUBG. But when it came out, it was inspired by Battle Royale.
Yeah. It's interesting that it all kind of like, it was across multiple medias, like, yeah. You know, it was like video games and also the movie.
Right. And then also the Hunger Games as well.
Yes, right. Have you seen the Hunger Games? Either
yes.
of you?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I have not.
You have not?
No.
Oh, okay.
Should yeah. I?
It's worth seeing. Yeah. It's not bad.
Okay. When I saw that came out, I thought it was not marketed towards me. I thought it was supposed to be like for like teenage girls.
That's because the books were written. It's one of those like young adult books, uh-huh. basically. So it is kind of that, yeah.
Okay.
But the movies are good. Like they're better than you would expect. Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was going to be like a Twilight thing, but it's not.
No,
that.
Oh, okay. I thought that too. It's not as bad as Twilight.
No.
Okay.
It's closer to like a Harry Potter. I mean, like it's not. Harry Potter is a lot more whimsical and fantastical, but it's like you could watch Harry Potter as an adult, right? Like it's geared towards kids, but it's watchable as an adult. So it's the same with Hunger Games. It's like, it's kind of, it's young adultish, but it's watchable. It's not like that other stupid, what is that show, that movie? It starts with a D. It's this young adult thing. I keep seeing it.
Is it new?
Divergence? Is that what it is?
Yep.
Yeah.
The Divergence series.
It's not like that. That's terrible.
What is that? I've never even heard of that.
I don't even want to go
okay,
into
we,
it.
Okay,
maybe or game.
Like, or like Maze Runner is another young adult movie thing that sucks.
I'm out of touch. These things I've not heard of.
That's good though.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Hunger Games though, worth watching.
Maybe if I had 8 more hours awake, I would know about these things. I'd have time to
yeah, exactly.
Foray into
these. You would have watched all this shit.
Yeah, that's probably true. I would be an insane person. So we checked it out. We can get into kind of the beginning. It starts with that game that they're playing, the kids game.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the setup for, I guess, the theme of the show, I guess, where it's like, oh, you're going to get picked and you're going to get eliminated.
Right.
From the game.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what exactly was the game that they were playing on the playground.
I don't know if they had
they call it, well, I don't know what the Korean name was, but it is Squid Game.
Oh, right. They called it the Squid Game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was, they described the rules to the game, and I can't exactly remember what the rules were, because it was kind of
there's some formation on the ground. You have attackers and defenders.
Right.
And it kind of
reminds me of baseball
you.
A little bit. Almost.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. There's certain parts of that formation on the ground that the defenders have to keep you from getting to or push you out for the defenders to win. And the attackers have to touch a spot in that formation for them to win.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's kind of this like children's game.
Yeah.
It looked kind of fun.
Yeah. But it's like a no holds bar, too. It's supposed to be violent. Like the defenders can do whatever they want to keep you from getting to it.
It does, like, it immediately, though, drew me back to, like, playing those kinds of weird games.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask
I was
you
a
guys.
Kid.
Yeah.
And, like, I was just like, oh, man, that stuff was fun. Like, there were a lot of really fun kids' games.
I was trying to remember, like, playing those games growing up. It's hard to remember playing those games. Like,
really?
At recess, like, what was a game, like, what's a top game you would play at recess? Like, do you remember playing, like, a game in particular?
There would be like, I mean, like the go-to was like tag.
Yeah.
Tag. Foursquare. Did you guys ever play Foursquare with the ball? It's just literally four squares on the ground.
Yeah.
And you have the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You have to throw it into someone else's square to get them out.
Mm-hmm.
I vaguely remember that.
Tetherball?
Tetherball.
With the ball.
I remember this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like, you know, there would be more larger organized ones like Red Rover. Did you guys ever play Red Rover?
Yeah.
Something like that. Or like Jump the Brook. Did you guys ever play that?
No.
One was super, that was probably something we invented. But it was just like you had two jump ropes and you laid them out on the ground. And at first they were really close to each other. You'd get in a line and you'd run and jump over the jump ropes. And then people would keep adjusting the jump ropes over time to get farther so that your jump had to get a lot farther. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't make the jump, you were out. And you were just constantly going and jumping over the gap. It was fun. But it's always the most athletic kids win in the end.
Yeah, so it was just like, that was a thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have played that one. I played pretend to be an Animorph.
Now we're getting into the games I kind
of
remember.
Okay, here we go. Wait. Were you part of the group of kids that were just like acting like animals and shit in the corner?
That's, I mean, part of the coolest Animorphs club.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wow.
Were you
that wasn't a common thing?
Oh, we had that, but like it was just always like those were like the weird kids in the corner of the playground.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm remembering.
Were you part of that?
Yeah, because when you talk about these games, I remember being like, well, I was just kind of off being weird the whole time is what I remember.
Oh, you were in that club too?
Yeah.
I was in the Overland Park chapter.
We had a small group in the Hardin Central sector.
So, okay, I kind of want to dig into this a little bit. Is this So I remember specifically, I was never part of this group, I can proudly say. Mm-hmm. But there was a group of kids that were like, they're always off in the corner of the playground. Every single day, the guys would just act like animals. Like they'd get down on all fours. They'd like bark and stuff.
Yeah.
And then the girls would like lead them around and shit. Oh, like
that was a different group.
It was messed. Okay.
That is a different group.
Okay. I remember seeing that stuff and I was like, what is going on? Wow. Even as like a little kid, I was like, what is going on over there?
That's amazing.
I want to say to everybody, I was not in that group.
Okay. You said Animorphs and that's what I was like, that suddenly I remembered that.
Nobody was leading me around.
Yeah.
This explains a lot of what I see online now though. There's a lot of these
people. I'm certain that's where they went.
A lot of it. No, I just remember being like playing shit like Power Rangers, playing like stuff I saw on TV.
Oh, yeah, I did a lot of that.
Yeah.
I'm this guy. And oh, you're this guy? Okay, let's run around and chase each other.
Yes, I would always be like Goku and stuff. Yeah.
It's insane how much imagination you had back then that you could just go out and just play and keep yourself busy for so long.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Just based on like nothing. It's like, what are you idiots doing out here?
Outside all day.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I never lost that imagination. When you guys leave, I'm going to be running around here.
Jake's
he's got his Power Ranger suit.
I'm Goku now. Yes.
Finally, I could power up.
But you're the psychopath, not me.
Yes.
You and your 20-minute
I'm normal.
Yeah. I'm going to go get on my 20-minute nap freak shit here in a minute.
So anyway, that's how you play Squid Game.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that's Squid Game
playing into that, your childhood imagination a little bit right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was good. I liked it. I liked the intro. Then we go to see, how do you say this guy's name? Ji-hun? I look at you, Josh, for this. My point of reference. Make sure I'm not butchering it too bad.
I was going to avoid trying to say their names too. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I could spell it. That's about it.
Yeah. So we're going to say his name is Ji-hun because it was not said too much because.
Well, here. Okay. Here's a good question. I don't know if you guys read about it. Did you guys watch it with where they did the English dubbing? Or did you do where you hear them speaking in Korean with the English subtitles?
Subtitles.
I did subtitles.
Okay. Okay.
So I started with the English dub. And it was terrible.
Oh, man, I didn't even know they had that.
Defaulted to it.
Oh, wow.
When I started playing it. Yeah. It was just terrible. I mean, I'm not against English dubs. I like a lot of movies with English dubs, but like it was bad. So I immediately switched it over.
I only want my dubs in Player Unknown Battleground. Sorry. Yeah, I don't mess with dubs typically. Like, I did with Dragon Ball Z, but if it's a show that I, no offense to Dragon Ball Z, but if it's a show that I like kind of respect a little bit, I'll just go with subtitles.
How dare you?
Dragon Ball Z is one of the
greatest shows of all time.
I can't spend time reading that.
I mean, not to dive too deep into the dub versus sub argument, but I think there are a lot of shows that are worth with the English dub. If you're talking about anime specifically, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of really good English dub stuff out there.
Yeah. It does seem like they kind of bring in, like, they're very passionate about that.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're, so, yeah.
There's some really good English voice actors that are really good at anime that I like. And I will look them, I will literally look up the voice cast before I start watching a show to see if I recognize any of the names as, like, some of the people that I like. And if they're not in there, I'll typically just start with the Japanese voice cast.
Yeah. For me, it's mostly, do I want to be engaged and read this, or do I just want it on passively?
Yeah.
So our protagonist, we see him basically being a shitty person, going and, like, he lives with his mom. He's stealing her money. He's going to the horse races, betting money, lying to his daughter, giving his daughter some prize he won out of, like, a claw machine.
Which he didn't look at the prize before he
gave it to her.
That was weird.
I think it just kind of shows his lack of...
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Police.
Gotta pause for the
fire department. All right, go ahead.
I think it just kind of shows his disregard for anyone other than himself by him being like, here's a toy that's... It's a gun. It's like a lighter gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he, like, the way it goes, though, is, like, he gets it out of a claw machine. He, like, gets this other kid to get it for him because he can't figure the claw machine out. And then it's, like, he doesn't look at what it is before he gives it to his daughter. He's just like, I have a present now. I'm going to give it to my daughter. And, yeah, then the daughter opens it up, and it's literally, it looks exactly like a real gun. And it turns out it's, like, a gun lighter.
Yeah. Yeah, I was fine with it. I only didn't like that it seemed like he hadn't seen it before. But as far as it being like, oh, he just is going to give her whatever, I thought that was fine.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's just like he doesn't care what it is as long as he meets the debt, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And then we see he's basically in debt to these mafia guys. They beat him up. I liked that scene. They were pretty intimidating, and like, him, like, tasting the blood. I don't know if you remember, like, he was bleeding out of his nose, and the mafia guy, like, tasted his blood.
That's pretty good.
I thought that was cool.
And then at the end of it all, he, like, asks for more money.
Yeah,
that was pretty good, too. I was like, that really showed how desperate he was for just constantly money. And then,
right.
Yeah. And then it shows him going to the horse race after that, too.
Yeah. You could basically tell he's willing to kind of just, he has a gambling problem, basically. Like, he'll do anything to make some money.
Yeah, which, like, I know, like, he's kind of the example of a super, like, shitty, like, in debt person, but immediately relatable to me. I'm just like natural debt stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like,
they do paint him as like a bad, sort of a bad guy, but it's also just really relatable. Like,
right. Yeah,
it sucks being in debt. Like, yeah. I get it.
A lot of people have overspent before and had gone into debt and been like, fuck, this is screwing my shit up and I can't keep up with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the guy. So then this guy in a suit shows up and he's like, let's play this game where, you know, I can slap you. And it's called Dijaki, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Where, right.
Where you like throw the piece of paper down and try to flip the other piece of paper.
Basically two like square pieces of cardboard or paper, one's on the ground, and you're trying to get it to flip over by hitting it with the other piece of paper. And at first he just offers them, I think he said 100,000.
Yeah.
What's the name of their currency?
I forget. Won.
I
don't know how, I wish I knew the conversion. Is that a lot? I'm sure it's a lot.
I can't remember. Yeah. I think it is a lot.
Yeah.
But he says, at first the game is, hey, for 100,000 won, like, you pay me 100,000 won if I win, I pay you if you win. And the guy accepts it because, and that's what made me think, like, oh, that game is testing to see if he's the kind of person that would go into debt, right? Because a lot of people who don't have that attraction to debt and gambling wouldn't take that. They'd be like, no, I don't have 100,000 to give you, and you're probably good at this game, you know? It's like, but he immediately accepts it because he wants money, loses multiple times. And the guy just says, you know what, instead of you paying me, I'll just slap you. And so he just keeps getting slapped over and over and over.
Yeah, he slapped the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool too, though. I mean, I like that scene. And I thought the makeup was really good. Like, he really looked just like he had been slapped 1,000 times. Like,
yes, it did.
All of it looked really, really good. So he eventually, they separate, and I think he said he's going to contact him later or something. I can't recall.
I can't remember how they part.
Yeah, full disclosure.
Oh yeah, he gives him the invite, right, to the Squid Game.
Is that when
he gets
the card?
I think so. Yeah, I think he hands him the card to the invite.
Oh, and later he can decide to call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I see.
And then he finds out his daughter's moving to the United States, so he's kind of like, oh, he talks to his mother, oh, I have to get my daughter back. It's just all the whole beginning is just setting up like he's has to do this. There's like no way he can't compete in the Squid Game. Like he'll lose his daughter or he'll be killed by the mafia.
Yes.
Like he's out of luck.
He's so deep in debt that there's no, like, as the viewer, you're like, there's no way out of this for him. For him, he just has whatever, you know, he has that gambler's mindset where he's just like, I can gamble my way out of this. I can get out of this.
Yeah. Ends up in the car. So he accepts. He ends up in the car. They gas him. He ends up at the Squid Game. We'll just cut to there, basically.
Yeah.
I thought the command room, there was like a big command room with all the cameras and stuff and all the squid people sitting there. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Like, I like the setup of it.
Yeah, really cool just visual style to this show. Yeah.
And the music was really good. It was one of those, it was kind of reminded me of Watchmen where it like, it fit. It was not like the typical music you would expect.
Yeah, but it was very childlike.
Yeah, but it fit.
Yeah, I liked that too. That's kind of, it kind of opened with that like childlike theme.
Yeah.
Whereas like almost like a weird like marching theme. It was interesting. But yeah, the music does fit pretty well. It adds a very eerie suspensefulness to it.
Mm-hmm. We then see he's at the Squid Game. He runs into the 001 character, the old man.
Yep.
Who basically has a brain tumor, so nothing to lose. So now you have that character who's going to just...
Yeah. Be immediately very aloof and like disconnected is what he seems like. He just seems like he's just happy to be there, mm-hmm. which is interesting. I liked that character. It was just like a very stark contrast to everybody else that was there.
Right. And then you meet the gangsters in the pickpocket who stole money from him previously in the episode. He realizes once he gets there that she stole money from him because he had won the money from the guy in the suit earlier. Right.
Yep.
So he runs into them. There's that big fight. I have in my notes when they after that fight happens. It was just kind of character introductions for that, basically. Oh. But then like the squid people come out, the square, the circle. They all have circles, and you got the main guy with the square. Reminded me of like a PlayStation controller is what I was thinking when I saw.
Yeah,
that.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah,
they're all like PlayStation buttons.
Yeah, but they played some Frank Sinatra at one point. And I thought it was really good too, the Fly Me to the Moon, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's one of those songs where like you think it's called that, but it's actually called something different.
Yeah.
In other words, that's what it's called.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is weird. So they tell them 6 days, and they're gonna play 6 games, and they show them the big piggy bank, and they're like, we're gonna fill this with money.
Yeah.
The characters are sent off into that stair room, which was also really cool, where they're like walking through the stairs.
That was
it's
cool.
Like the, I don't know what that optical illusion is called with the stairs. Like
right.
That.
But it was definitely invocative of that.
Mm-hmm.
Invocative.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely was trying to go for that. I don't think it was the full on that illusion, but it was like trying to invoke that again. Like it continuously plays into this childish sort of, set up, right?
Yeah.
Everything is kind of childlike.
Even to the giant doll, right?
Right.
Like it's another kid's game, right?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was pretty wild. I did not expect that. So they go into this big giant room with painted walls. Looks like a desert, kind of, and they have that giant animatronic. Is that right? Animatronic mm-hmm. doll?
Yep.
That thing was creepy.
Yeah. That thing was creepy. It's definitely some kind of thing you would expect to find in like an abandoned amusement park or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was creepy as hell.
So they have this red light, green light moment where they play that game.
Yeah.
And I was pretty into the show for the majority of the intro. Like it was mixing it up enough. The music was keeping me interested. It was, what's it? something my expectations, I can't remember the word.
Subverting.
Subverting my expectations pretty constantly throughout it. And then when they started to play the game, you kind of knew what was going to happen, but you didn't know how it was going to happen, right? Like, you knew people were about to die.
Yeah, you knew that something was up with this, like there was going to be a catch. But yeah, so.
Yeah. So they start to play the game. Gunmen all of a sudden start unloading into people in the crowd.
Right, and it's people who are losing, because the game is that you're running when it's green light, and then when they say red light, you're supposed to freeze in place.
Yeah.
And then you have 5 minutes to get to the other side past this line. And so, naturally, the first time they freeze, somebody in the front gets out because he's moving, and when he gets out, they just shoot him.
Yeah.
And you just hear a gunshot, and he just kind of falls down.
Yeah.
And I think the guy behind him is just like, hey, you need to get up, right? Kenick walks up behind him. He's like, hey, what are you doing? You're out. Get out. And then he realizes that he's like bleeding and like choking and dying.
Yeah. And then I think that guy gets shot.
Yeah, because he moved.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he gets shot. And then that's when like panic erupts.
This is when Fly Me to the Moon's playing.
Yes.
When they're all getting mowed down.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. Yes. That was cool.
That was so cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like it was a pretty kind of horrific moment of like a giant
horrific
group of
not
people.
Cool.
Yeah. It was horrific, Cassidy. But it was like, you know, definitely this game is definitely playing into the contrast of like childish games, people getting murdered.
big contrast.
Yeah, big contrast. And so like you just have this pretty giant group of people just panic and start running towards the door, and then of course they're all moving, so they're all getting shot by I think snipers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
man, I loved it. It was cool. Like it was very cool.
Yeah.
And it was also like they made those people seem shitty enough that you were kind of like, I don't really care that they're being killed, you know.
Right.
And you also knew they were like the dumbest people, so we're like, yeah, take them out. That's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was interesting, like, how I was surprised by how many people ran for the door. Because that was a huge, like, it looked like half of the people there got killed immediately.
Oh, yeah. I think that's exactly what happened. So, yeah. What would you do? So, the dilemma was you go in there, right? And they tell you, we won't tell you how much money you'll get unless you, get through the first game. They don't even say survive, I think. They said get through the first game.
Yeah.
And you get in there with hundreds of people. And you start seeing people getting shot because of a children's game. What would you do in that moment?
I'd be like the old man.
Huh?
I'd be like the old man.
I was like, that old man had balls. Yeah. He's like, let's go.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's hard to say until you're in a situation where somebody's getting shot next to you.
Everyone's getting shot around you. And then also, how did you play the game? Because it's contrasted with the handful of people that played a bit differently, right? There's the guys who just run it through it. There's, you know, that mafia dude. He's like...
Yeah, did somebody like stand behind somebody else? Was that what was happening?
The pickpocket stood behind that mafia person.
Right.
And then someone else, there was another group where they were standing. He was like, hey, stand behind someone. Like, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
It was interesting how a lot of people knew they were smart enough to freeze.
Right.
But like half of them were not. They just ran for the door and they all got shot.
It was pretty much culling the herd of stupid people right at the start, basically.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
Yeah. And then you brought up like they kind of explained the rules a little bit beforehand. Mm-hmm. They use the term eliminate when you get out. So they don't really imply kill. They just say eliminate like a game. And then the other thing is what'd they say? So they like gave a hint at the money. There was something else that they said before that. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Reasons for them to keep playing? Is that what
No, they said as part of the contract that they signed before they played, they said if everybody decides to stop playing, like majority rule, then they would stop playing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like right away, it kind of sets up the scenario where it's just like, we can all decide to stop playing if we want
to. True. They did allow them, if they wanted to bow out beforehand, they could.
Yeah. And then they could leave before they started too.
Yep.
So it kind of did play with your expectations a little bit where it's just like, yeah, this is kind of a friendly thing. It almost seems like a game show, you know.
Yeah. I did not expect that rule to come into play until much, much later in this series.
Right.
Like, I was like, because any American show, they wouldn't even have that option. So I thought it was really like a really good twist element to it. So I was really a fan of that. So they get mowed down. You can tell that 001 really likes the game. He's enjoying it.
Yeah. It keeps showing him just like being really good at the game too. Just like,
right.
Like he's almost like rhythmically moving to it. Like he, like when he stops, he like comes to a stop and like this very like joyful, like way, just like, I'm freezing, you know?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, that guy is immediately my favorite, but they just start playing the game again. I like how they took a moment to explain the rules again after a bunch of people got killed. They're just like, let me explain the rules again, you know, in this like very talk down tone, just like, here's how you play. And it just repeats the rules and then they just start playing again. And you start to realize as they're moving, I immediately was just like, there's no way anybody's going to make it to the end of that thing in 5 minutes. Cause it was like at 3 minutes at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty dramatic.
But yeah, like you were saying, so then they get out of the game. There's half of them left. They ask if they want to keep playing. They all vote. They show all the money up above them in the giant piggy bank. So they're kind of like leading you to think, oh, they're going to vote to stay and keep playing. And then they don't, which I thought was great. Great twist, right?
Right.
And so then they, I believe it ends, does it not? How does this episode end? It ends with them closing the door on the dome?
The dome, the top thing closes?
Yeah.
I think it ends at the end of the game, doesn't it?
I can't recall.
I can tell you.
I think somebody watched ahead.
I watched episodes. I watched episodes.
Okay. I was like, yeah, I think you watched ahead.
Yeah,
I don't
Josh
think.
Watched the whole thing.
That's why I couldn't say.
Oh my God. Am I the only one that stopped at episode one?
Oh yeah.
Whoops.
I couldn't.
So I don't think there was any voting
In
this episode.
So I could, yeah. So.
I was like, you were saying, I was like, did I miss
episode one really did end with the game?
I think it did.
Yeah. The game ends and then the thing closes on the top.
Yeah.
And that's the end.
And that's, it cuts to black.
Yeah. Cause that's like the hook is like, oh, they're on this island. What's going on?
Yeah. And also during this game, they keep showing this like villain guy. Watching on the TV, like from like his like office or something.
Right.
And he's like, you can tell it's still kind of, he's got maybe a childlike brain because I think he's like eating these like candy or something. There's something about the office that he's in that's very childlike.
Is that the black mask guy you're talking about?
Yes.
The hooded? Okay.
Also, another thing that was only a detail if you watch it with the subtitles is that guy speaks English like he's an American.
Oh, interesting.
So like everybody else in the show speaking Korean, he's actually speaking English regardless of whether you're watching the English dub.
Interesting.
Which was cool.
Something I noticed about that guy, one, he, using the elevator, it scanned his mask. And so I thought, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I saw that, I immediately thought, okay, so one of the characters is going to get the mask and use it to get
exactly,
out.
Exactly, yeah. That's a
And then later on, when I thought it was cool when they had, once the shooting started in the arena, he took his mask off. And I was like, oh, mask off moment. I get it. Like, he took his mask off and set it down.
Yeah.
Which also tells you, oh, yeah, someone can get the mask.
Yeah.
Is what I thought. Now, does that happen later in the show?
Who's
I don't
to say?
Know. Josh knows. I don't know.
Okay. So it doesn't happen within the first, what, four episodes?
I watched the first two episodes.
First two? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And they were good. I liked it. So
yeah, I was pretty into the show. It was very difficult for me to not move on from episode one.
Yes.
Clearly, it was also difficult for you guys.
I didn't watch episode two until like, so we watched this a week ago.
Yeah.
I didn't watch episode two till just recently because I was trying not to, but I just kept thinking about the show. I was like, I need to see what happens next.
I kept starting up my my TV and like browsing and being like, I really want to watch this.
Yeah.
And
so we can get into our reviews, which we pretty much already, or our summations, which we pretty much already have alluded to. Yeah. Like, I definitely think it's a binge. Like, I really want to watch more of it, and I'm probably going to watch more of it today.
Yeah. I'm like, now that we are recording this podcast, I'm probably going to watch the rest of them in one sitting. Like, I'm 100% convinced that I'm going to binge this.
Yeah.
So.
And yeah, Josh.
I'd also say it's a binge.
You've already got full binge mode.
I was up until I was up late and I finished it last really? Night. Yeah.
So let's, since you did that, let's, so like, what do you, like, obviously you can't give any details, but like, was it worth it?
Yeah. Worth the no, binge? I would say it was worth it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Did it keeps you hooked pretty much all the way through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say it keeps me hooked all the way through. And then, I don't know. I really don't want to give any spoilers.
Right.
About the ending.
I'll just I'm say not, that this show is like all over like TikTok and Twitter and just like it's everywhere. Yeah. So it's one of I knew shows. Something. There's something to it for sure. And I keep seeing clips from it and just like clips from the other games that they play and stuff. And I'm like, man, this looks so good.
I'd say I think the middle is better than the end.
Okay.
Really? Okay.
For me, it was.
I'm happy that this show, you know, it's always interesting what like hooks us as like society, right? Like, I'm happy when it's a show like this versus a show like Tiger King, because at least people aren't quoting this goddamn show and like making me hate it. Like I've seen it, like people talk about it, but it's nothing like how Tiger King was or, you know, or it's just right. Like everybody's talking about Carol Baskin. I'm like, oh, shut up.
The only thing, the closest thing to a quote from this show is them singing that song that the girl robot sings at the beginning with Red Light, Green Light. And I don't know how to sing it because it's in Korean, but it's just like I've heard that song so many times just on TikTok and stuff. Like people are going crazy with that.
You're the resident TikTok.
I know. Expert. I look at TikTok all the time. Yeah.
I don't. I think I downloaded it because you said to, but I have not looked at it since.
I would never tell you to download that.
He's pushing the TikTok.
I do not push the TikTok on people. Okay. I talk about it, but I'm not going to tell people because it's addicting. It's like crack.
Sounds like it.
It's too good. Like it has, it just like once you watch one, you're going to constantly be scrolling.
I don't need this.
Yeah. Don't do it. It's like, so it's also, they figured something out with that because it's also like the videos like preload. So as soon as you scroll to the next screen, there's no buffering at all. It's just like, it's playing.
Wow.
And it just keeps you hooked. Like it's just insane. It's going to cause brain cancer or something.
I don't need any more brain damage at this point in my life.
It's bad.
But
there's a lot of funny videos on it.
Yeah. I filter them through Twitter is how I do it.
That's a good way to do it.
Let's go ahead and take a little break. And when we come back, we will talk about the show we will be watching next week. All right, welcome back. Next week, we will be talking about American Horror Story
Season 2. Yes.
Now, this is fine because this is an anthology, right?
Right. It's not an anthology episode to episode, but it's an anthology season to season.
Yes.
So it's a completely new story. Usually they recycle actors and stuff. So I've watched Season 1, 2, and 3 of American Horror Story, and then I fell off of it. But Season 1... fine. Season 2 was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. It's just like, I think it'll be right up. I don't know. I don't remember specifically Episode 1. I just remember the overall season and some of the things that happened in the season. And it was kind of incredible. So
would you say this is a good Halloween type of year thing to watch? Spooky season.
Oh yeah.
Watch.
Yeah. If you want just, if you want a show that just hits all the Halloween themes all at once.
And it's this season specifically?
Yes. Okay. This season specifically just touches on all the subjects that I love dearly in horror. Should I give you a little preview?
I want to go into this blind.
Yeah, so I'll let you guys go into this blind, but it touches on a lot of favorites of mine.
Did you see the first season of it? I can't remember, do you remember what the first season was?
Yes, the first season was just like a classic haunting, like a haunted house type show.
I thought I watched some of it, but I cannot
remember. The first season wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It was just like when they clearly didn't know what to do for the first season, and it was just like, oh, is this show just going to be about a haunted house every season?
Uh-huh.
And then so Season 2, they were like, no, this show is going to be about some other shit too. And it really just goes completely in a different direction. And it pays off.
Is it a different set of actors too?
No, a lot of the actors are the same, but a lot of actors are new.
Huh. And you said different, just different story for each episode or each just season?
Each season, oh, okay. Different story.
And there's no continuation between those actors? Like, are they different playing different people?
Yep, completely different roles and everything. So, like, same actors, but they'll be in completely new roles.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
I like anthology shows like that. Yeah. Remember, like, you know what's a very similar idea, concept to this show, but it was episodic, was not Goosebumps, of course, but also Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
Same, like, episodic. It seems to be... It's interesting that that's like a horror, like scary show kind of thing that they do, where it's just like,
I think because horror is so easy to break up into bite-sized pieces, I guess, because a lot of it has to do with mystery too.
True. Yeah.
And I think a lot of times it's nice to have a mystery begin and end with an episode. But, you know, that said, this is a season-long story, so it's not like every episode's a new story. I mean, it is, but... You know, it's not a complete anthology between episodes.
Based on what you've said about it, I think I'm probably going to watch the whole season.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. So American Horror Story Season 2, Episode 1 is a binge. All right. Next. What's after that? Just knock these out.
I do want some scary stuff to watch during near the holiday season or this holiday season. Do you guys typically watch any, do you typically watch scary stuff this time of year or no, Josh?
Yeah, I think I usually would. I like the paranormal stuff.
Okay.
If it's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have a franchise in particular you like Nightmare on Elm Street or Freddy or Jason or any of that?
No, those, the slashers, I'm not really that
okay,
into.
Not into
like,
this.
I don't find them scary.
I don't either.
Yeah. I don't either, yeah. I don't like slashers. I'm the same way. Paranormal is the only stuff that scares me.
Yep.
Everything else does not scare me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love paranormal stuff. I'll usually watch whatever is, like, the big thing that season, like... I think there was a Netflix show last year that was kind of a big thing. I can't remember what it was called, but I watched it and it was really scary and it was good.
I can't remember it either, but there does tend to be like the one that everyone's like, okay, you got to go watch this.
Yes.
Like for this round. I don't really care much for the slashers either. I like a brooding, like The Witch. Have you seen The Witch? Or there's this other one, I can't remember what it's called, but it starts with the S. It's like, they're witches that live under this dance academy, but it's very like slow brooding or, I can't say what kind of genre it is, but
interesting.
I like stuff where it's like, demonic.
Oh
like,
yeah.
Stuff like that. Like
I like that
with
stuff
the devil
too.
Stuff.
Yeah.
That's always.
I mean, we've talked about the devil, I think, on the last episode.
Oh yeah,
but big fan of that guy.
Big fan of Satan.
Big fan of Satan.
Ooh, you know what's another good one? Vampires. I like vampire stuff.
Vampires.
Too.
I used to not be into vampires, but then every once in a while I'll see something really good that I like, and now I'm on the vampire train now.
Have you seen Let the Right One In?
No.
You should see that one. Okay. That one's a really good one. That might be one. That might be my favorite vampire movie.
Really? Okay.
It's really good. It's a different take, a different way of looking at a vampire.
That's what I like. Every time somebody says those words, I like them. Whatever movie they're talking about, like that's. I liked Interview with a Vampire because that was the same thing where it was like it's a different way of looking at vampires. And I watched it. And I was like, yeah, that was really good.
Dracula's cool. Like I like the concept of Dracula because Dracula is basically like. Satan type, you know what I mean?
Did you ever watch Castlevania?
Yeah, Netflix? I watched season one and some of season two.
Okay. That show, it actually wrapped up, I think, last year. And it was, I loved that show. But if you like demonic shit and summoning stuff, that show's pretty good.
I need to get back into it. It's a season. I think I will. So
yeah, I think it's 3 or 4 seasons long. So
okay.
It's pretty good. It wraps up, you know, it has a, it completely wraps up, so like you have an ending, which is nice.
Speaking of endings, I think we'll go ahead and end this episode. Thank you for listening, and we will see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.